The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Usually my messages come from, well, not usually, all of them come from things that I've gone through and continue to go through. So I hope in doing this message this morning that it speaks to some of you. I don't ever think that you're not here for a reason. So I believe that God has something for everybody when they come to church. It's not just you come here and you just sit around and listen and hope and wait and can't wait for the message to be done so we can get home and watch the game. I don't know when the Cowboys are playing today, and that's really the only game that matters. So I know. I just had to throw that in. All right. What's that?
He's not in.
He didn't want to hear this message. I know we went a little bit long on music and... Like I said, we changed things up a little bit, and we're going to do more songs at the end than we normally do. But don't worry, I've tailored the message to not keep you guys here till 2 o'clock this afternoon, so don't freak out about that. All right, a little girl was talking to her teacher about whales. The teacher said it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was a very large mammal, its throat was very small. The little girl stated to the teacher that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Irritated, the teacher reiterated that a whale could not swallow a human. It's physically impossible. The little girl said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. The teacher said, what if Jonah went to hell? The little girl replied, well, then you can ask him. That has absolutely nothing to do with the message. I just thought it was pretty cool. If you guys are note takers, some of you are, some of you aren't. I do title my messages, and this one is called Don't Forget the Lord. And it's based out of Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 20. So if you guys want to, you can turn there. We'll get there in just a second. The last time I gave a message, and some of you may remember, some of you don't. I barely remember when I gave it. I talked about how April and I really went through a tough 2016. It was probably one of the toughest we've had in our marriage for many different reasons. But we got through it, thanks to God. It was a lot of time with April and I just spending time in prayer, reading, spending time as a couple doing that. And I believe by doing that and the prayers of this church, family, and everything got us to where we are today. We were really blessed this year. Early this year, we were really blessed. And because I'm the type of person that I am, I'm a proud person. Sometimes I think I do more than I actually do. Then I start to forget that the reason why I got to where I was at or the blessings that we got was not because of the work I did, but it's because of the work God did. And we're only 10 months into 2017, and I somehow have already forgotten what got us to where we were. And it really hit me a few weeks ago. That God just kind of spoke to me and said, you need to get back to doing what you're doing. Because it was easy for me when I had a little bit more time at home that I would get up and I would read devotions, I would pray and stuff and spend time with God in the mornings. But as work got busier, things got busier around the house, I dropped off from doing that. And when I started to do that, things started to change. My attitude changed. My attitude towards people, my attitude at work. And it just affected everything. So I started to forget what got me and April to where we were in 2017. So that's kind of what I want to touch on today. I have a lot of stories about stuff that I forget because I'm getting old. But I found this story of it's called Lost Keys, and it's from an anonymous wife. After a meeting several days ago, I couldn't find my keys. I quickly gave myself a personal TSA pat-down. They weren't in my pockets. Suddenly, I realized I must have left them in the car. Frantically, I headed for the parking lot. My husband has scolded me many times for leaving my keys in the car's ignition. He's afraid that the car would be stolen. As I looked around the parking lot, I realized that he was right. The parking lot was empty. I immediately called the police, gave them the location, confessed that I had left my keys in the car, and that it had been stolen. Then I made the most difficult call to my husband. I left my keys in the car, and it's been stolen. There was a moment of silence. I thought the call had been disconnected. But then I heard his voice. Are you kidding me? He barked. I dropped you off. Now it was my turn to be silent. Embarrassed, I said, well, can you come and get me? He said, I will, as soon as I convince the cop I didn't steal your car. I figured that was a better story than what I can come up with. Because I can have my keys in my hand and forget where my keys are, or my sunglasses on my head and forget where my sunglasses are. All right. On your cell phone, yep, exactly, yep. All right. April always says I talk too fast. I will try to slow that down, but I'm trying to be cognizant of time as well. I always do everything very scripted, so you have to forgive me. But I will do my best to stay on time and get things going, and hopefully what God has put in this message this morning resonates with everybody. Like I said, we all get busy. I got busy, and that really affected my attitude. It does affect your relationship, of course, because if you don't spend time in relationship with God or anybody, then it gets affected. So because of a busy life, it affected my relationship. And then that's always that snowball effect of it affects everything around you and everything that you do and the people that you deal with, and it's never good, and it just snowballs and gets bigger. Clinging to God in the hard times comes naturally to most of us. Even though we may question his ways and doubt his goodness, we realize we need him, that we cannot navigate our trials alone. So today, I want to talk about in Deuteronomy 8, which I'm going to read here in a second, and we're going to discover how God works in the midst of life's difficulties and in the good times as well. Times when all of our needs are met and many of our wants too. Unfortunately, our sinful nature tends to forget about God when the bank account is full, when the kids are healthy, and the future looks bright. In those times, we often loosen our grip on God. We feel that we've got things under control. We can handle life. We become independent from God and dependent on our own. God warned the Israelites about this very thing. During the 40 wilderness years, he met their needs day by day, and they learned to depend on him. But as they stood at the edge of the promised land, ready to enter, God counseled them on the dangers of prosperity. He was about to lead them into a land abundant with water, food, and natural resources. God knew that initially they would bless and thank him for his provision. But over time, as they got used to having, their attitude would change. Watch out for the good times. You don't really often hear that. Prosperity and ease produces pride and independence from God. Because we live in a land of plenty, we must purposely and constantly watch for this independent attitude. And I can tell you, I was there. So if there's anything, if there's a takeaway from this morning, the most important thing that we need to be aware of is that we have to be careful not to forget God. So if you're at Deuteronomy 8, start there. And you're going to have to forgive me because I'm getting old. My eyes are failing, and it's really hard to see this. So I'm going to do my best here. I have to usually get like 4 feet out, but I'll try this. Deuteronomy 8:1, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God had led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Sorry. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him, For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools and water, with springs of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Pretty harsh, huh? Pretty strong words. The children of Israel were being blessed with the Lord, by the Lord, with the ability to enter the promised land. They would be blessed with many earthly blessings that they didn't have before. But the blessing comes with danger sometimes, and we forget where we were. You fall in danger of thinking that you are self-sufficient. You think you can think in your pride that the blessing you have got for yourself. You can forget the one who really gives you the blessings. This is the danger that the Israelites were in, and they ended up not listening to the warnings of the Lord. They did not forget the Lord. They did forget the Lord. They would give great credit to themselves and their idols for what the Lord gave them. They would live lives showing that they did not know the Lord, and the Lord would fulfill his promises to them by sending him into captivity. I believe that we can fall into the same danger as the Israelites. And I say we, but I'll say I, fall into that danger all the time in forgetting what the Lord has done for us or for me. So, I got four ways. I've come up with four ways that we can forget the Lord, that kind of is a stumbling block for us. First one is we can forget the Lord by thinking that everything we got for ourselves. And that's probably my biggest downfall. The pride takes over, and I think I've done it when it's not me that's done anything. We can just be just like the Israelites. I know when I read the Old Testament, and you read that every time you read that, and then they sinned, and you know, and they forgot the God every time, and it's like you're reading this, and you're like, what is your problem? And then you sit there and think, oh, I do the same thing. So it's easy to condemn them for what they did. God was so clearly working among them. He took them out of Egypt, cared for them through the wilderness, brought them into the promised land, defeating their enemies before them. We see how the Lord tells them that he is the one doing these things. They forget about the Lord and gave themselves the credit for the wealth and possessions that they had. It's easy to condemn them, but we at times are not too much different from them. The Lord is active in sustaining our lives, blessing us, giving us, and allowing us to have everything that we need. He is the one who gives life, breath, in all things, but we forget about the Lord. We think that we got things for ourselves. We feel like we've worked so hard, we put so much time in to get what we have, our homes, clothing, cars, jobs, and all the technology and stuff that we have. We may have put in a lot of work, which I know a lot of people do. I do myself. But that does not mean that the Lord was not working and giving us the ability to get them. And I think that's what we forget. There's nothing wrong with working hard and striving and trying to be the best that you can be in everything that you do. But we can't forget who's behind the scenes that has given us that ability. The Israelites put a lot of effort to get into the promised land, but the Lord was working the whole time. He is the one that was and still is blessing his people. Verse 17 and 18 really kind of stand out, so I kind of just did a little synopsis of kind of what it would sound like today or for us, just kind of a quick little excerpt here. My power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me, but we still have to remember the Lord our God, for it is he who gives us the ability to produce wealth and and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to his to our ancestors as it is today. It is amazing for me how sometimes, and I'm speaking for myself again, that I can focus more on the blessing than the one who gives me the blessing. And that is one of the things that I've struggled with these last few months. Second thing, second way we can forget the Lord is by thinking that we can save ourselves. And I don't think this is maybe as popular, I guess, of a philosophy as the other ones. But some people think that by good works they can save themselves. And they have that attitude of, I can save myself, but they don't show it. We may say things like, I hope I'm doing good enough or obeying the Lord good enough to be saved and go to heaven. Am I, you know, giving enough to charity? Am I volunteering enough? Am I playing in the worship band? Things like that. You're not obeying the Lord good enough to be saved and to get into heaven. Our hope does not lie in whether or not we are living up to the standard of perfection. Because if we try to do that, you know, nobody's perfect. I know Dave is close. He lets everybody know that. But we're not quite there. We're not to that level yet. And we never will be. Our hope lies fully on grace and mercy, the grace and mercy of God who promises to be merciful to us and to forgive us. The definition of grace is that we are given a gift that we do not deserve. We are not good enough, but the Lord is. He is going to fulfill his promises if we will have faith and trust in him as the one who is able to keep his promises. The third thing that kind of gets in our way is we have busy lives. Everybody's busy. Unless you are retired and can pick your schedule, everybody's busy with work, with kids, activities for kids, everything. So living in such a fast-paced society, it's tough. But we do have to stay disciplined. We can do so much throughout the day in comparison to the people in the time of Christ. But with making our schedules so jam-packed with activities, we fall into the danger of forgetting about the Lord. We claim that he is the most important part of our lives and that our lives revolve around him, but our actions show the opposite. That we are the most important part of our lives and that he is just on the outskirts of our lives and we give him time whenever we can get the chance to fit him in. We put him on the back burner. We busy ourselves so much to the point of being that thorny soil in the parable of the soils, the soil that is cracked by thorns. We get so focused on the cares of life that we choke the word out of our lives and bear no fruit for the Lord. And once again, I have to confess, that's me in the last several months. Like I said, I started out for the longest time, taking that time every morning before I started the day in prayer and reading the word. And as I got busier, after that blessing came, time for God went away. And I see that. And you wonder why it takes you so long to figure that stuff out. Or why is it a vicious cycle that you keep falling back into that? That's the thing that's really frustrating, you know? The fourth thing is we can forget the Lord by our sin. Nobody wants to talk about that part. This is the one that we probably thought of first when we think about what prohibits our relationship with God. When we make the choice that we are going to do things our own way instead of the Lord's and reject his will, we are forgetting about the Lord. This point obviously encompasses all of the other points that I've already made. Everything that we do to forget about the Lord is either sin or leads us to sin. Forgetting the one that gives us life, breath, and all things to focus on our blessings that we think we got ourselves is sin. Anytime we put anything before God, whether that's anything, whether it's our job, activities, Bronco games, which nobody wants to watch anyway, we set up an idol. When we make something an idol, that's a sin. And sometimes we forget that. It was when I first heard that in a Bible study that we did, it hit me like a ton of bricks. When you put anything in front of God or before God, even though it may be good, it could be your kids, it could be anything like that. When that takes over and is the thing that removes you from spending time with God, it becomes an idol. And it affects everything that we do. These things are all included in this final point. But we need to understand that every time that we make the choice to purposely forget about what the Lord says about something so we can do what we want, we are forgetting the Lord and turning our backs on him. Have you had hard times? that you, when and you've forgotten the Lord? Deuteronomy 8. I pulled this from the Message because I thought it was kind of cool, because, you know, if you've ever read the Message, that version, it really kind of puts things in common everyday language, and I thought this was kind of good for verses 11 through 20, so you don't need to follow along your Bible. I'm just going to read, unless you have the Message. It'll just kind of throw you off. Make sure you don't forget God, your God, by not keeping his commandments, his rules and regulations that I command you today. Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, build pleasant houses and settle in, see your herds and flocks flourish and more money come in, watch your standard of living go up, and make sure you don't become so full of yourself and your things that you forget God, your God. The God who delivered you from the Egyptian slavery, the God who led you through the huge and fearsome wilderness, those desolate, arid badlands crawling with fiery snakes and scorpions, the God who gave you water gushing from a rock, the God who gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never heard of, in order to give you a taste of the hard life, to test you so that you would be prepared to live well in the days ahead of you. If you start thinking to yourselves, I did all this and all by myself, I'm rich, it's all mine, well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so as to confirm the covenant that he promised your ancestors as it is today. If you forget God, your God, and start taking up with other gods, serving and worshiping them, I am on the record right now as giving you a firm warning. That will be the end of you. I mean it. Destruction. You will go to your doom, the same as the nations God is destroying before you. Doom, because you wouldn't obey the voice of God, your God. There are many things in our lives that can lead us to forget about the Lord and how he has blessed us. Moses warned the Israelites about this before they entered the promised land. We too must listen to the same warning. There are a couple things that we can do to guard against the tendency to forget God. Remember God's past provision and activity. Recognize that your ability to work, your talent to produce, and your intellect all come from God. Remember when you fall into the trap or that valley of feeling lost or forgetful of what he's done for you. Seek him, and he will reveal himself to you. Because when we seek him, he will work in our situation and remind us who he is and how much we need.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflife.com.